We worked some things out with them to come, and we've got them settled in the motel room up here. The only thing is I need to make sure that they get fed. Amen? They have breakfast. I'll have continental breakfast at the motel, but I would like to know. I will take care of them on Friday when they get in. I'll have to meet them and stuff anyway and deal with them, and I will take care of Friday, but I want to know if somebody would like to take them and make sure they get fed lunch on Saturday, make sure they get fed supper before the service on Saturday, and make sure they get fed after church on Sunday, and if they want to eat again before, normally right after they get done the service Sunday night, they're on the road. Brother Jim? All right, Brother Jim and Sister Mary's got Sunday afternoon. Would somebody else be willing to do lunch on Saturday? The ladies are all going to be here at the hall with something. So, you know, guys, it'll be a good time for somebody to take them out and get to spend some time with them and fellowship with them for a while. Is anyone be interested in taking them out on Saturday afternoon to get them lunch somewhere or Saturday evening for supper? Perhaps after your wife gets done with the thing, you and your wife would like to take them out and get supper somewhere. Anyone interested in doing that? Brother Jim, which would you want? Saturday lunch or Saturday supper before the service? All right. Anybody want to do lunch? You can't. You're going to be here with the ladies, aren't you? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, it's just. Okay, then we still need Saturday for supper. Anybody want to feed them? Well, it depends on what time you eat lunch. You know what I mean? They may not want supper, but you know, we're going to have stuff after the service, but, you know, that's going to be, yeah, we'll find out. But if Brother Jim, you take care of lunch, and then if they want to get supper beforehand, I'll take care of supper on Saturday as well. All right? But I just want to make sure we had them taken care of. I'll tell you one thing this church is known for is we are gracious in taking care of our evangelists and stuff. I might not always be off, and we don't run all over the place, but you folks are known for taking care of people, amen? And we just appreciate that and just want to see that they get taken care of. I tell you what, people who minister, are just a blessing to take out. It's just a blessing to go out with missionaries or go out with preachers and just to get to fellowship with them. And just the Lord just blesses you for doing it. I enjoy doing it, but I just want to open up the opportunity for others to do it. And you know, it's just something that you can do, something, you know, personally that you can give to them, and it's a personal touch, and they get to know you, and you get to know them a lot better. And I tell you what, if you ever, all right, I'm not sure if they will, generally Sunday night, as soon as they get done, they pack up, because Zach's got to be back in school Monday morning. So they normally, after they get done on Sunday, just pack up and roll. But if they will, if they want to. Huh? If they want to eat Saturday evening, you want to do that? All right, everything's taken care of then. All right. Somebody write that down, who's got what. if you found 1 John chapter number 3, stand with us tonight as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. In verse number 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Brother Adam, take us to the throne of grace tonight, would you? And while I'm thinking about it as well, we need to get the hall set up. The hall needs to be mopped and set up and got ready for Saturday for the ladies and for Saturday evening, if somebody is able to do that. I was planning on doing it. But we're going to have a funeral. Belly, you going to take care of it? What's going to have to be? The ladies are going to use the hall Saturday morning. It's going to have to be done Friday or Friday evening. All right. Well, if somebody else is able to catch it on Friday or something, we'll take care of that then, but I was planning on coming down and doing it. We got a funeral Friday, and generally they drag me out a whole day. But be much in prayer, as we said, for the families that have lost loved ones. And as we look to our scripture tonight, the losing loved ones has brought this a passage of scripture to mind and has brought this message to my heart tonight. And we've been dealing with loss, and we've been dealing with family members who are struggling with loss. And so many people have a misconception of what happens to a child of God when they die. How many of you here tonight, now listen to me, this is something you all need to listen to. This is theology 101 that you need to get grounded in. How many of you here tonight believe that you're going to get angel wings? Amen. I'm glad you're grounded. Maybe I'm preaching this to the wrong crowd. All right, we can close the Bible. I don't know how many people that I have heard recently talk about a loved one, a saint of God that has died and has gone home, and the heaven got another angel. They've got their angel wings. And that's so far from the truth for the child of God. That is so far from what God's Word teaches us that it just troubled me. And I spoke to one here last week, and I just sat down and told her, I said, honey, I got to straighten some theology out for you and let you know. And she listened to me. She said, well, go on. And I began to explain it to her, and I began to share it with her, and I began to get excited talking about it. And she said, you're serious about this, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. Aunt Nina, I didn't go to heaven and get a set of angel wings. Amen. Aunt Nina went to heaven, and as she moved in to her heavenly home that was prepared by her heavenly Father, that she might be that heir and joint heir with the Son in that place that God has prepared. Well, she began to telling everybody else that I had straightened her out about the angel thing, and they were all asking about this angel thing. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought. We shall be like Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not looking for angel wings. Amen. I'm looking for a home that God has prepared for me. I'm looking to be just like He is. And you know, to be like He is, I'll no longer be like I am. Some folks think that when we get to heaven, everything's going to be just like it is down here. But let me tell you something. We're not going to be carnal. We're not going to be mortal. We're not going to be corruptible. We're not going to be like we are now. The Bible says that we're going to be glorified, amen, and we're going to have a glorified body. We're going to have a new body, and we'll be known as we're known, but praise God, we won't be known as old, corruptible, sinful people that we are down here. Sister Sherry, we was talking in Sunday school this morning. She said we was talking about, you know, just seeing God and being able to experience His glory. If you miss the adult Sunday school class, and you're able to be here, you miss a great blessing. Amen? And not because I teach it, but it's just because of the class itself. Man, we didn't even get into our lesson this morning, but praise God, we had a good one. Amen? And we was talking about being able to see Moses talking to God face to face was the question that was posed, and where we sprung off of. And you know, it's something to realize that no man can see the face of God. Moses spoke with God face to face, but he couldn't actually see His face, but he seen His glory, and the Shekinah glory of God enveloped him overwhelmed him. And when he turned and when he looked at the people, they couldn't even look upon him. He had to put a veil upon his face to even talk to the people after he was in the presence of God. But can you imagine the time? Can you imagine the day when all that holds us back here, all that restricts us from being able to see God face to face has been done away with, and we're like Him and we can behold Him in all His glory? We couldn't stand it now. But praise God, we're going to get to enjoy it then. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and if y'all probably don't hang around a funeral home as much as I do. Amen. Now, Steve and Becca come down here to be with us. They came from Nottingham. And Steve got down here. He says, you do more funerals than anybody I have ever seen. And I said, you mean that big church up there they don't have? He says, you do more funerals than anybody I know. I don't know. I do a lot of them. But this I know, that God's word has the answer for the people that are looking for the answers. And one of the greatest verses in God's word to share with people what God does in the Christian's life and what God does to the individual that's trusted him as their Savior, what God does to the one that has put off the old man and has put on the new is found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. In verse 51 he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Amen. You got that? This old corruptible body, amen, is going to be changed. This old corruptible body that can't see God face to face is going to be changed. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in heaven, I'm going to be changed from this vile creature and this vile tabernacle that I dwell in down here to one that is incorruptible. Just look at me and just look at how decrepit I am. Praise God, if you could feel how I feel sometimes. I know how corruptible and how decrepit I am. Look over my head. I got to go to the doctor, and they're burning off cancers and precancers, and they're doing it all over on my back, man. They've been burning stuff off, and I don't know whether he just enjoys burning me or there's something really there, but they're working on it. You know why? Because this old body's corruptible. It's broke down. I've got arthritis in my back. I'm getting arthritis in my hands. And sometimes it's hard to even close my hands. And I've got to physically force them shut. This old body is corruptible. It's decaying. This old body, it's getting flabby. It's getting wrinkly. Hey, man, this old body is decaying. And I don't care about the health nuts down at the health club. Praise God, their body is corrupting too. And they're going to die of something. Amen. Amen. Remember a few years ago, had a doctor that used to jog to work at Johns Hopkins. Y'all remember this on the news? Maybe about five years or so ago. He used to jog to work every day. He was the picture of health. Well, the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. Amen. It'll do a little something, but I don't think it's worth all that work. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Guess what happened to him one morning on the way to work? He died. He had a heart attack. You know why? Because the temple, the body that he lived in, it's corruptible. It's going to decay. It's going to disintegrate. It's going to go back into the dust, back to the earth from whence it came. It can't stand the glory. It can't stand the presence. It can't stand all that God has prepared for them that love him, that truly seek after him. And praise God, I know that one day I'm going to lay this old corruptible body down, and when I step on the streets of the glory world, I'm going to be a different me. I'm going to be a new me. I'm going to be a changed me, and I'm going to be able to see my Savior and see my God and worship face to face. Glory, hallelujah. Look at what Romans, Paul said over in Romans. I tell you, Romans 8, I told you this morning, it's just a fantastic chapter. I got to thinking about it some more. It starts with no corruption and ends with no separation. But in between there, there is a consolation. There's a confirmation. And praise God, when you got all that, had it together, it gets you something to shout about. The consolation is we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. The confirmation is in verses 29 and 30. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them also He justified. And whom He justified, them also, listen at what He said, them also that He justified, praise God, He glorified. Amen. I'm glad that I'm not like He is yet, but praise God, one day I'm going to be just like Him. And I ain't going to be floating around on a cloud with angel wings or playing a harp. Amen. Because it's been confirmed in the Word. It was confirmed right there in Romans chapter number 8. Down about verse number 17, I think it is. It says that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. I tell you what, I don't know where people get this silly idea that we're going to die and we're going to just go to heaven and we're just going to walk around and we want a little cabin here or we want to go fishing over here. That one song, it's kind of funny and it's nothing, I guess, really wrong with it, but it's just, dear Lord, please tell me there'll be deer hunting in heaven. A little bit of fishing and some turkey hunting too. Amen. Yeah, I guess it's what your desire is, but I don't know. I want to see Him. Amen. Amen. I don't want no camouflage any more than I want a set of angel wings. Amen. I don't want the things of this world to hinder me. That's why I know there'll be no carnal being. There'll be no carnal bodies in heaven because once He gets a hold of you, and once He changes you, and once He transforms you and transfigures you and transcends you, praise God, you're going to have a glorified body. Amen. And then look. Stop and think about what the angels do. Does anybody here watch Downton? I don't know if I asked you. Did anybody watch Downton Abbey? Nobody watch it? Anybody ever been down to Biltmore? You got this great old big giant mansion. And the rich folks lived upstairs. The rich folks, if they needed something, they just walked over here. And they grabbed this little cord and they jerked this little cord. And downstairs, where all the servants were, a little bell would ring. And there would be a wall there that was telling them what bell is ringing and what it's for and who needed to respond and who to go. And they went and took care of that. You see, in Biltmore, in that mansion, there was the family and then there was the servants. If y'all don't watch Downton Abbey, you're missing a pretty good show. It's on public TV. It's really pretty neat. It's kind of about that same era as Biltmore was, and it's pretty interesting. But you had the family, and then everybody else that lived around them were subject to the whims and the cares of the family. At Biltmore, when they built his mansion, and they were building, the architect was designing and trying to determine where to position his bedroom. They said he built a scaffolding to the height of where Mr. Vanderbilt's bedroom would be. And he climbed up on there, and he was in the approximate location of where the bedroom would be. And he climbed up on the scaffolding, and he was trying to determine which way to face the view for when Mr. Vanderbilt woke up in the morning. This is pretty neat. If you've never been there and you get a chance to go, I rode past it several times and said, I'm not paying that much money to go look at some rich man's house. And finally, Deb talked me into it. And it was very interesting. But listen at this. Because he wanted to make sure that when Mr. Vanderbilt woke up in the morning, that he was going to have the most spectacular view that he could have. And the view that he chose was Mount Pisgah, which was 18 miles away, but was still on Mr. Vanderbilt's estate. Fascinating. Everybody on all these hundreds of thousands of acres that Mr. Vanderbilt owned were there to serve his whims and his wishes. Whether it was working on the farm, whether it was working at the house, whether it was taking care of the family personally, or just taking care of the grounds to make sure that they were manicured and they were impeccable. Biltmore was so big, it's the largest house that was ever built in America. I guess it still is. The largest private residence ever built in America. Vanderbilt's property, his estate, his holdings were so large that they actually built a railroad to Biltmore for the guests that were coming and leaving to be able to get there. Had its own railroad station. It's just fascinating that somebody could command that much, had that much money just to command that kind of a lifestyle. It's hard to fathom. But you see, when we read about angels in the glory world, amen, they're not the ones who are in the family. Are you getting where I'm going with this? Amen. They're not part of the family. They're not part of the heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. They're not part of those who are going to enjoy the glories of the glory world, but they are the ones who carry out the very works and the very desires of God as he sends them to minister in different ways. In Hebrews chapter number 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past, passed unto the fathers by the prophets. Now listen very closely to what he's saying here. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, in upholding all things, he had a family resemblance. Amen. He had a family identity that you couldn't deny. All things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now listen at this very carefully. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angel, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers. Now a minister is a servant. So you understand that, so you're clear about that. And his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever a scepter of righteousness in the scepter of thy kingdom. Now, I want you to see what God is saying here in his word. He's saying that God's Son, Jesus Christ, has been made so much higher than the angels. He's separated. He's different. He's the Son. He's not the servant. Amen. He's the Son. He's not the minister. He's so much better. He's born so much better. He is so much better because of who He is and because of the image that He has. He is the Father's Son, and there's no doubt about that. And guess what? My Bible tells me that I am a son because I have been adopted into the family of God. And if the Son of God is much higher than the angels, why would I want to float around on a cloud with angel wings plucking on a harp? Amen. I'm an heir. Amen. I'm an heir. You say, how you know that? Turn to Galatians chapter number 4. Turn to Galatians chapter number 4. I can give you a whole litany of scriptures, a whole litany of places where the angels are ministering, where the angels are serving God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, well, before we go to Galatians, let's go to Romans real quick. Back to Romans chapter 8. Here's that confirmation, another part of it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Who were the bondmen and the bondwomen of the Bible? They were servants. Amen? They were prisoners, and they were kept in bondage. And some of them were in bondage of their own will. They had been made servants. And we are not in bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. How do I know that I have a kinship with Jesus? Because right here in Romans chapter 8, it says, I have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. In Galatians chapter 4, now I say the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now listen at this. But when the fullness of time, the time appointed, the perfect time, the right time, in God's time, when I needed adoption, when I needed help, He was right there when the fullness of time was come. God sent forth the Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, than an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Folks, I want you to know something. I'm going to serve Him as long as I'm down here. Amen. I'm going to worship Him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings as long as I'm down here. I'm going to know Him as my God and my Savior, as Thomas said, as long as I'm down here. And as long as I'm down here, there's a work for me to do. As long as you're down here, there's a work for you to do. But praise God, let me tell you what, when you go home to be with Jesus, the work is all done. Amen. The adoption has done taken place. You've become an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. And you no longer have to live like a servant. You no longer have to live under the bondage and the constraints that this old world keeps us in. But praise God, I will be able to be glorified. We'll be able to see Him through Christ Jesus because of what He's done for us. How we can see what we will become when we get to the glory world. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait to see Jesus. Amen. I can't wait to see him face to face. I can't wait to worship him in person and in his very presence and all of who he is. Oh, we all got all these, hear all these ideas. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I don't know. In the presence of God, I don't know if I can do anything. Although we cry, Abba, Father. Dad, Daddy, a term of endearment. He's still my God. He's still my Lord. But I'm not going there to work. Over in Revelation, it said, I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are they that die in the Lord. Amen. They will find rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm not looking for angel wings. I'm looking for my home in that mansion, wherever it might be. And the Bible doesn't say each one of us is going to have a mansion. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. I don't care if I have to live over in the smallest room, in the smallest mansion of the glory world. Amen. It's not what it's all about. I don't care if my mansion doesn't have the fanciest of stuff that's in it. At Biltmore, there's rooms that just leave you standing. They got one big room. It's probably, well, it's wider than this, but it's probably all told about the size of the sanctuary. And the walls are all hand-tooled leather. It's amazing. It's awesome. There's things. I got to see Catherine the Great's coronation. Did anybody ever see the thing about the last czar of Russia? It was on public TV and it was on the History Channel at one time. They had that whole display up at the museum, right there at the riverfront in Wilmington. They had the museum there, and they had that whole display there. They had Catherine the Great's coronation carriage there. An awesome thing to see. Completely gold-gilded. I mean, it just shimmered. It was just awesome to see. You stand in awe of things like that. But then when we think, when I get to behold my Savior, I get to behold my God. As we said this morning, all these things that we think are so dear and precious down here are nothing but building materials. Gold is street paving material. The foundations of the city, the New Jerusalem, are precious stones, emeralds, diamonds, rubies, jasper walls, gates that are made of pearl. Everything that we think is so dear and so precious is just a building material in the glory world, because there's nothing whatsoever that outshines the sun. And guess what? I'm an heir to the riches of glory, because I'm an heir with the Son. Not looking for no angel wings here. And the next time you hear somebody say that, tell them what you're expecting. Tell them what you're looking forward to. Tell them what you know about heaven. So we stand tonight, our heads are bowed, eyes